Blog Talk Radio.
Hostess is Marie here on Wonderful Wednesdays, and what a blessing it is to be here with you again, here on the Stars of Heaven Network 9 for part 2 of the premiere of Purim Carnival 2020. I'm excited to minister part 2 of the premiere broadcast, and I'm excited about what the Lord has given me and opening up to me for you, what he's saying to his beloved church, as well as anyone who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I'm really excited about what he declared to me when he said that this is the return of the Age of Innocence. And I'm excited about that. And this speaking to our joy and our purity being the bride of Christ, and that comes by our heart. And so I'm really excited to get into part 2 and share with you where I left off yesterday in ministering to you from Numbers, the first chapter. But before I get into that, I want to touch on what I was ministering on yesterday when I was sharing with you about a movie that I had watched years ago that was one of my favorites. And I put it on my Facebook post last night. So if you went to my Facebook post, you saw the correction. And there is a movie called Age of Innocence, but this movie was called Dangerous Liaison. And when I got off air, the Holy Spirit quickened me and reminded me and corrected me and said, oh, it was Dangerous Liaison, which was still has the same meaning of what he was saying and giving me talk to me about you know, being a child and being innocent and having purity. And just to quickly recap from yesterday, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to the premiere broadcast, feel free to check it out right here on Blog Talk Radio. But, yeah, I just wanted to share with you what he was saying to me about the innocence, you know, our innocence and our purity, which is really represented by children. And I'm going to get into that scripture later on in the broadcast when Jesus talks about little children. But I just want to touch on the Ruby Daisy Dangerous Liaisons, because one of the things the Lord was sharing with me is about how important for us to keep our purity and keep the joy of the Lord. And one of the things that I and we as the believers of Jesus Christ and the sheep of his pasture, as well as disciples, have to be aware of is the wiles of the devil. And the Word of God tells us, be not ignorant of Satan's devices, and put on the whole armor of God that we may withstand all the wiles of the devil, because he has nothing but trickery and deceit. And that's one of the things that the Lord and Paul talk a lot about in the Word of God, not being ignorant, not being held captive by at will by his devices. And one of the things I want to touch on quickly is, before I get into something I want to share with you that speaks to those wiles and those games. And the Word of God identifies those who operate from that deception. And one, of course, is the devil himself, Satan. But the other is the harlot. And when God talks about the harlot in the Word of God, it's not to be offensive. When I mention the harlot or the great whore, it's not to be offensive. When God speaks of this feminine, he does so by labeling her because of her true nature. It's what defines her as the harlot. And in the Word of God, he describes the harlot as unfaithful, one who uses trickery and deceit to get what she wants. And that's why throughout the Word of God, it talks about the harlot and be aware of the harlot, harlot spirit. Now, of course, it's manifested through people, but when God talks about the harlot, he talks about her nature and what she does. And even the nature of the profession of a prostitute or harlot is someone who's not faithful to any particular person, because her profession is to make money using her skill. And that's what we need to remember, and that's why I wanted to clarify that in speaking about the harlot or the devil, is understanding the true nature. And that's why the Word of God talks about a lot about the devil. And Jesus defines the devil as, you of your father the devil, and of his works what do you do? And Paul and John, who wrote all about the enemy. So I said all that to say that as children of light, you know, we have to be watchful and prayerful of those who are of the seed of Satan. And this movie, Daydream Liaison, reminds me of that, puts me in remembrance of that. As to the schemes and the wiles of staying or being stimulated, and that's the thing that, you know, I pray about a lot, because people in these last days try to stay stimulated, and they sell fantasies and they play these games. These daydream liaisons to keep themselves amused and stimulated, and that's the thing that you have to understand and identify when it comes to the harlot church. You know, God does not have to challenge us by using prompts and doesn't have to stimulate us by provoking us to performance. He doesn't have to stimulate us by putting us through unnecessary stuff. You know, he doesn't have to use daredevil games to get us to prove that he loves us. That's just not who God is. But that's the thing that we have to recognize, and you have to recognize in meeting people, especially if they say they're of the Lord, understanding what spirit they operate of. So I just wanted to touch on that because I think that I'm seeing more and more and more with people who are attracted to the true life, the true church. And because, again, anything that's false, anything that's not genuine and authentic is false or is undeveloped or undefined. So the thing that I just took away yesterday remembering about that movie is understanding that, you know, in these last days, you have to be aware of people who use these type of demonic stimulants to keep themselves engaged. And, you know, people who use these type of stimulants and play those type of games and sell fantasies and stuff are those who are really dead and trespassing in sin. And it's really a distraction to distract from their sin. So, you know, we have to really be careful, and you have to be careful not to allow anyone to engage you or get to know people who operate from this type of stuff, because it's really dangerous. And I tell you, Jesus declared game over on the cross when he finished the work of redemption on the cross. He said it's finished. So, you know, just know that God does not have to prod us or provoke us as his children to performance. He loves us, you know, and we don't have anything to prove. He loves us just the way we are. And so we don't have to be up to par or have to be man-pleasers or do anything to feel worthy or deserving or to feel like we belong. You know, that's simply not of God. And, again, people who do this type of stuff and they exalt themselves of other people and they use trickery and deceit and literally, you know, attack your life, again, it's the work of the enemy to distract you and destroy who you truly are. Because people who have to use these type of tactics and have to stay stimulated like this, which takes a lot of energy, it really shows that they're insecure about who they are. And it's really sad when they do it at the expense of other people. You know, and that's the thing that you have to really be aware of in these last days, and flee people and watch your life, because people put you in the mix. You know, they'll put you in the mix of their game playing or use you as a pawn in their game and their scheme just to be amused, you know. And that's really sad, you know. God does not have to test us to have to, you know, use evil or give us these challenges to show us he loves us. He knows who we are. God will test us. And his testing is to show us where we are and where we need to be strengthened. And you must remember, our trials only come to make us strong. Hallelujah. Only come to make us strong. And so the Lord uses faith to inspire us. The faith comes by hearing him by the word of God. So make sure that you're being stimulated in a godly way, and that's by hearing the word of God. That's by fighting the good fight of faith. And know that, you know, when we are tried, when we are tempted, even by people who operate from this demonic, ungodly stimulation, that it only comes to show us where we need to strengthen our armor. Amen. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to share that because yesterday I remembered that I had the wrong movie, and I just wanted to share that. Now what I'm going to do is go to where I left off at, because in the last broadcast I left off reading from Numbers, the first chapter, the 48th and the 53rd verse. And as always, I'm on air but not in the studio. I provided a link in my information box, so you can click on that link and you can be right with me here on my Facebook post and read along with me. I left off at Numbers, the first chapter, 48th and 53rd verse. And when he gave me this, in this part of the offering, where he spoke about the eight wonder and how he's going to show up in appointed times in our life according to what he has set us or according to what he sends us. He's going to show up and show himself strong on our behalf, show himself strong for other people. And that's why it's so important to bring kingdom. And that's why Jesus said, "Lo, if any man say the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is there," he said, "believe them not, for the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you." So in him declaring the eighth wonder, which we are, which he is, which speaks of the place where he will reveal his glory, which is in us, and where you are, where he's placed you in the body of Christ, or set you in your life, your geographical location, where you are, we're to let our light so shine. So men may see the works of the Lord by Father in heaven. He was saying to me that he's going to begin to show himself in a great and mighty way. And those signs and wonders and miracles are going to come by us, the true church, who walk in the power of God, who preach the gospel, who live by faith. Hallelujah. And so when I finished yesterday, I was reading from the King James Version. And so what I wanted to do is put the Amplified on, because I really like how the Amplified reads when it talks about the tribe of Levi. And as the Lord was saying to me about the eighth wonder, and as well as compound interest, he was saying to me also that as the remnant church, and as the great falling away happens, he is going to, again, separate and give us new assignments. So in Numbers, the first chapter, the Lord said to Moses, "Only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor shall you take their census among the sons of Israel, since they are unavailable to go to war." And so, you know, the Lord has a remnant, and God will separate us and sanctify us and anoint us and mantle us according to what he has called us to do. And that's why it's so important to be in your place, to know your place, to be led of the Spirit, to understand your calling. Because in his appointment of you and election of you, which is predestined, because we were predestined to conform into his son, he was saying that being the tabernacle, we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to summarize the next couple of paragraphs for the sake of time. He was saying that as we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, and we're led of the Spirit, we are to, again, go where he leads us, where he sends us, and that our tent, our tabernacle, which is me, you, our body, our life, our little life, which is living epistles, that we should go where he sends us. And he will set us and send us according to his purpose. Now, he goes on to say that the layman, not the Levite, who approaches the tabernacle shall, the Levite shall set up his tent and shall not take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be set up for the camp, the Levite shall set it up. But not the Levites themselves, but the layman. So again, when God is building us and God is preparing us for the greater and to advance his kingdom, there are those that God would send to help us to do that. Now, the thing that I want to touch on is what he was saying to me on what this means. And he spoke two different things regarding the Levites and what their charge was, which was they were exempt from warfare, and they were given the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony, which is very important because everything we do for Christ is based on our testimony, which is based on what we've seen and witnessed of him. And that's the thing that he was saying to me, that we cannot have a true testimony if we're not a true witness. And so I gave you some scriptures in Proverbs that supports that. And what he was saying to me was that as he sends us, as his sent ones, and we share our true testimony, which is based on our true witness of what we've seen and heard of him, people will be saved and set free. That's when we will see revival. And so he was saying to me that we basically have to pack light for the flight. And he gave me Luke, the 9th chapter, the 1st and 6th verse for that, when he said he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staves, no scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece. And he said, whatever house you enter in, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the very dust off your feet for a testimony against them. For they departed, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So as we go and we declare the word of God by way of our testimony of what we've seen and heard of him, he said people will be set free and delivered. Now that was the first thing that he said. But then he began to deal with me about our actual testimony. And he was saying that when you are a true believer, a mature believer, and most importantly, when you love God, you will keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he began to minister to me about those who crucify him afresh and anew. And he's saying, those who crucify me afresh and anew do this by laying the foundation of repentance unto sin. And when you have a believer, or should I say leader or leaders, who are constantly repenting of their sins, not only is that a stumbling block, but it again lays the foundation of repentance. You go back to square one. So there can never really be no true promotion and elevation from the Lord when the foundation you keep laying is repentance because of sin. Now, the thing that he reminded me of is the power of his priesthood and the power of my priesthood, which is to verify the testimony of what has been witnessed. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be able to be fruit inspectors and verify whether or not what a person is saying is of God, if they are true witness. Because, again, you can't have a testimony unless there's a true witness. And so the Word of God says that our spirit will bear witness, their spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. That's the first thing. Are they of God? Now, I'm not saying that we won't sin, because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But when that sin is to the point where it becomes a stumbling block, or that sin is because the person is clearly not of God because they're false, false teacher, fleecer, wolf in sheep's clothing, etc. That's major. That's major. Now, the thing he was saying to me about the testimony, his testimony, and being a witness who has a true testimony, he began to deal with me that after he healed many and delivered many, he instructed them to go show themselves to the priest. And that's why the priesthood is so important. And being a royal priesthood is so important because at that time, and even now, the priest had the power to and the authority to determine and examine whether or not a person's testimony is true, if they really did receive, they really did see what they said they saw, which is called apprehension. And for that, he gave me Matthew, the 8th chapter, 3rd through the 1st verse. And this is what he said. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou, tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So this is a confirmation and fulfillment of Numbers, because God spoke to Moses in Numbers and gave him the charge in how to govern the 12 tribes. And so Jesus recognizes and recognized the priesthood and recognized the authority of the true priesthood, who had the power to approve the testimony. And that's what we're supposed to be. We are royal priesthood in Christ. And in doing so, we have to, again, try to speak about it, see whether it be of God. Because the whole point of the harlot church is to perform all signs and lying wonders, and to make you believe half truth, which is what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite will say is one thing, but their deeds are contrary. So Jesus said, go tell no man, but go thy way. So he didn't want him to tell just anybody about his healing. He wanted to be verified, and that's what we're called to do. Now, our testimony is what is according to what we've seen and heard of him. And again, I put some things, Proverbs 6, chapter 16 to 20 verse, on 16 that God hates. And even 7 is an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that swift to run to mischief. It says the false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. He said, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Also included Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 46th verse. Now, the thing I want to get into, which is, because the whole purpose of him giving me also the testimony, was him reminding me of my testimony, because again, there cannot be a testimony or a witness without forgiveness of sin. And I preached a message a couple of years ago entitled False Forgiveness, because in that message, when he gave me the message False Forgiveness, he was telling me that and reminded me the power of my priesthood, which is the power I have in retaining a person's sins, which means holding them to their sins or forgiving them. And the thing that he was saying to me about the forgiveness of sin and holding a man's sin or retaining them, which is what John said in the 20th chapter, 22nd verse, when he said, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. This is after he arose. He appeared unto them. as the eighth wonder, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, the whole thing of him giving me this at this time, at that time, was a warfare that I was going through. And, you know, and the enemy always was trying to attack me because I was accused of holding people's sins against them. And he began to deal with me about that was a false teaching and a false doctrine and a deliberate error for people to cover and cloak their sins. And he was saying to me that we ought to forgive. We ought to forgive. And when we forgive someone their sins, we forgive them for us. So that offense won't hold us and cause bitterness and unforgiveness and anger. So the forgiveness is for us. But it does not excuse or give a pass to the person who needs to forgive. And at this time, I really found it really interesting that the people that attacked me in my life at that time, which is a deliberate attack, which was the purpose for trying to stop my destiny and me coming forth, he was saying that forgive. And I remember talking to God about that and saying, Lord, I can forgive someone that I know. when you have a relationship with someone and you have a relationship with someone and they sin against you, it's a little bit easier to understand why they sin because there's a relationship there. There's you understand their history. You understand the dynamics of why they did what they did. But when someone attacks you that don't even know anything about you, never seen you, and especially if they're using God's name to do it, that's major. And so the Lord really had to give me this message because the enemy was trying to use the word, which again was a trick, a deception, to cover up their mess, their sins. And so the Lord was saying to me that there is no pardon when there is no apology. There is no pardon when there is no apology. So when a person sins against you and they continue to do it, and they don't come back and get it right, and a person brings that up again, it comes up again, he said that's not being a victim. That's not accusing anybody. He says it's still out there because it's never been reconciled. It's never been reconciled. The offense has never been reconciled. He said go to your brother and ask forgiveness. Leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled to thy brother. So that offense and those things that I went through with these leaders I never knew, didn't even know me, just attached themselves to my life and my destiny and my ministry for the purpose of, again, personal gain and fame and to being threatened by me being the true church, who they profess to be. But anywho, he was saying that. He was saying that it's still out there. And so that now gave me a testimony. And I had to examine myself because the enemy kept trying to make me feel like I was holding something against them. He said, no, you now have a testimony against this person who did you wrong. And because it's never been reconciled, it's set out there. And so that's how we overcome. We overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, which covered us during that transgression, that attack, that assault. And by the word of our testimony on how he brought us out. So I wanted to bring that out in this message because when someone sins against you and you've done the 70 times seven and they still sin against you, he said, okay, now pluck that out. If the right eye offends you, pluck it out. So you have to understand that, you know, if you're walking in the commandments of God and you've done what you're supposed to do as far as forgiveness and the enemy still comes to try to hold you or condemn you, it's false. And it's just really dangerous when you have leaders, you're sitting under a leader who has this type of transgression hanging over them. Because one of the things that Jesus said is that we are to, again, observe whatsoever he commands us. And you can't have pick and choosing. When you're a disciple of Christ, you have to observe whatsoever he commands us and do accordingly. Because our first commitment is to our discipleship, is to Christ. So I wanted to say that because the enemy would try to use false forgiveness as a way of cloaking their sins. And that's not what this is about. You know, when we sin, we're supposed to ask God to forgive us. And again, if you are the true bride of Christ, you wouldn't do it in the first place. You know, that's why he calls it the false church and the harlot church, because they say, Lord, Lord, but they don't do it accordingly. Now, quickly, with a few minutes I have left, I want to go to what he was saying to me as he begins to show himself and reveal who he is. And he was saying to me that he will reveal himself, and the thing that I heard him say, as we manifest the kingdom of God, as we come and go where he sends us, he was saying that there will be many who would say, who's that? Who's that? And he gave me Isaiah the 63rd chapter, first and seventh verse, where he says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This is glorious in his apparel, traveling with greatness of his strength. He said, I speak in righteousness, mighty to say, wherefore art thou in red in thy apparel, and thy garment like him that treaded in the wine fat. So he was basically saying that, behold, I come in the volume of the book that's written of me. And behold, I come quickly, and my word is with me. And it's important for us to be able to identify the Lord when he comes to us, and know that when in this new season that we're entering into, in this new month, that he said, I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And he gave me the Luke 2nd chapter as well, that speaks of Caesar Augustus, which is named after the month of August, which is really amazing. And when he talked about how the world should be taxed, and that this taxing was first made when Cephas was governor of Syria. And that's when he again confirmed to me about the eighth wonder, saying we are exempt because he is our Lord of hosts. He's hosting us in the earth realm. Our inheritance among those that are sanctified. Yes, we're to pay our taxes and do those things, but when you truly live in the kingdom of heaven and your blessings and your birthright is stored up in heaven, God said, I know how to release those things and how to get them to you. And that's why it's so important not to compromise your gifts and to be faithful to your commission and your stewardship, because God knows how to release those things. And those things will be released according to our birthright, which is what it says in the next verse when it identifies Jesus of Nazarene, who was one of the lineage and other lineage of David. And again, this speaks to birthing, what we'll be birthing in the next season, what you give birth to, making sure that what you birth is birthed in the place it's supposed to be birthed. And when God sends the blessing, that you're not to judge it based on how it looks. We don't have a say in where God and how God chooses to manifest the kingdom of God, how God chooses to fulfill his promises in our life. Amen? The thing that we know is what it's supposed to be manifesting and what it's supposed to be glory to, and that's to God in the highest, and that it's supposed to bring good tidings and bring and manifest peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. So I'm really excited about the wonders, the signs and wonders, not just the eight wonders, but as many wonders as we can behold. According to the glorious mysteries that's revealed to us. Because a lot of things that are written in the Word of God, there's a lot of things God has spoken. It's not written in the Word of God. It's revealed by the Spirit. That's why he said the letter kill it and the Spirit make it alive. So it's really important for us to be able to receive the things of God by the Spirit. By the Spirit. And he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit. And that's why the Word of God says, eyes have not seen, neither ears have heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him, but it's revealed by his Spirit, by his Spirit. So, again, in closing, I close out with Colossians 2nd chapter, because all of this is wonderful and fine. And the thing he said was not to allow anyone to spoil you. These vain philosophy, deceit, tradition of man that come after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, which is liberty. Hallelujah. Which speaks of his liberty and his joy. Hallelujah. Let no one spoil you through deception and deceit. Being mature, having your senses exercised to discern between what's God and what's not of God. And all this declares his laughter. And God said this offering for the month of August is releasing his laughter and his joy over us, his praise over us, and it's also releasing his laughter upon our enemies and the disobedient. Because in Proverbs it says he will laugh when our calamity comes, when your calamity comes. Because when he called, no man answered. So this is also a laughter upon our enemies. And that's what the psalmist also said. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, you know, we rejoice in good, not in evil. But the judgment of God is true. It is swift. It is accurate. And know that the Lord wants to fill our joy, and that comes by the joy of our salvation, having eternal life, having right to the tree of life, being a citizen of heaven, and him manifesting his glory upon our life. So, you know, I bless and praise God for you being here for the second part of the premier broadcast of the Purim Carnival 2020. And remember that, you know, our sins are thrown in a sea of forgiveness and remember no more when they are covered, when they truly are covered by the Lord, and he's forgiven those sins and he's pardoned those sins. And know that, you know, retaining and holding someone to their spiritual crimes and sins is to stop them from committing it again against you. And know your power, and don't let the enemy try to trick you and make you feel some kind of way because you're doing what the Word of God says. And again, he said, whatsoever you bound on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, be loosed in heaven. And again, our priesthood is powerful. Our testimony is powerful. And that's why it must be true, and it has to speak of him. Hallelujah. Well, with that, I bid you peace, blessings, and much love. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening. And I will be back. I'll be back with more of Purim Carnival 2020. I have a lot more to share with you that he's given to me in the month of August. And I hope you'll join me. Love you. We'll speak with you soon. Take care.
Bye.